Among the most celebrated themes in TV history is Lalo Schifrin's piece written for Mission Impossible. One of the appealing things about it, whether you're aware of it or not, is that it's written in 5/4 time. Five beats to the measure instead of the usual three or four. Count and you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was written in the 1960s for that iconic television series. You'd think by now, in our very sophisticated 21st century world, 5/4 time would be commonplace. But in Western music, it's not, and it never was. In fact, in the world of musical rhythms, things started out much more ambiguous than they have become.
There was a time, if we look back, for example, to medieval music, where you have endless streams of notes that form vague contours.
By vague contours, pianist and writer Stuart Isakoff means no strict rhythm or beat. But a beat is the norm nowadays.
People tend to need some kind of an anchor to feel that there's an organization happening rhythmically in the music.
What rhythm? What beat? Why threes and fours, of course. That's what we've come to expect in the West. That must be why we're so interested in something that departs from that, like music written in five or quintuple meter.
You know, we have Tchaikovsky's example. The famous so-called waltz from the Pathetique Symphony, which is, of course, anything but a waltz.
Michael Beckerman, head of the music department at NYU, points to Tchaikovsky, writing in the 1890s, wanting to do something a little different. Tchaikovsky wrote the second movement of the celebrated Sixth Symphony in five, with a three-note figure, a triplet, which acts as a kind of diversionary tactic.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4.
He tried to mask it with the three-note figure, but if you count it, you hear it. Five, plain as day. What's nice about five is that, like other forms and time signatures and musical devices, it works as a means for personal expression. Tchaikovsky made it sound like Tchaikovsky. James Rhys Europe, the Harlem musician working in the early 20th century, used it too, in a piece he wrote in five for Vernon and Irene Castle, the famous dance team of the era.
The piece is called The Castle's Half and Half. And it's supposedly called the half and half because it's half of a foxtrot, which is in four, and half of a waltz, which is in three. And the piece itself is really quite charming.
In that case, Europe used five, or three and two, really, to make a tune as absolutely characteristic of that just pre-jazz moment as it could have been. And the restless Frédéric Chopin, experimenting and improvising constantly, made a classically Chopin-sounding sonata movement that can be counted in five. Go ahead. Count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But if there was a moment when five exploded into the public consciousness, that was certainly the Brubeck moment. Brubeck's excursion into five made his name and his fortune.
Here we have three and two again, but it has a hotness to it. What we have in Brubeck is a complicated rhythm, and it's a rhythm that arises when you actually put two against three. So that if you have one hand playing two and the other three, we have, for example, there we have a two. If we were to place a three against it, and that gives it a kind of a different swinging lilt, and therefore we end up with this pattern.
You would think that might have opened the floodgates for the use of five, but you'd be wrong. No question that it heightened the awareness of it in a lovely, playful way, and some did follow.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a group called the Pentangle. And they had a tune called Light Flight, you know, which was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it made them stand out in some ways from other groups because of taking that kind of metrical chance.
Let's get away, you say, find a better place.
But five is still an oddball thing that musicians and listeners love to collect and admire. Like this old favorite by Gustav Holst, Mars, Bringer of War, from the Planets. That's in the collection. Are you counting? These days, it's even become a little bit fashionable to make a statement in five by adding a beat to something written in four. By that, I mean something like the Richard Rodgers song, I Didn't Know What Time It Was. The song was written in four, always played or sung in four.
What a lovely time it was, how sublime it was too.
Pianist Brad Meldow makes it into a sort of lopsided jazz waltz in five. So 5-4 in Western music is less than a tradition, but more than a gimmick.
I think it's also an idea, a concept, a throwing down a gauntlet in certain places and styles. You know, it was cool to do fives and sevens, and I think that persists and lingers to today. You know, Radiohead. And it's sort of a way of making a certain kind of point about where you stand.
It's a way of saying, I'm not going to get stuck in threes and fours like everybody else. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.